ABC Radio Australia.
In less than a week's time, Solomon Islands will hold its national and provincial elections. It's the biggest election in the country's history, and all eyes are on whether Prime Minister Manase Songovale will return to office for a fifth term. One person who's been travelling across the country and speaking to voters about their hopes and aspirations is our ABC reporter in Solomon Islands, Krisnarita Almanuleong. She's joining us live this morning from Honiara. With that, I say hello and get that, Chrissy.
Good fella morning, Aggie.
Thank you for joining us. Chrissy, man, tell us about your trip across the country. Who have you been able to speak to, and where have you been?
Yes, Aggie, over the past few weeks, I've been out of Honiara. Thankfully, a lot of times the focus is on Honiara itself. But it was a rewarding experience to go out into the provinces. We went particularly to Malaita. We had the Pacific producer, Gabby, who was here, and we went out speaking to the people who were closest to the issues. And it was truly rewarding to be able to also go out into the provinces as a Solomon Islander, because many say that the truest and purest form of Solomon Islands can be experienced out of Honiara. So we got to experience that while we went out gathering news. But there were stories of many that needed to be amplified as well. And so the past... Well, 2 weeks we were out there gathering stories for the Pacific show, and that will come on an election special on ABC The Pacific later today. But it was important to speak to, you know, like you said, the people we've spoken to, everyday Solomon Islanders. We spoke to an academic, politicians. It was a bit of a struggle to get to the politicians because they were out all over across, you know, Solomon Islands doing their political campaigns. But we managed to speak to a few of them, some of the youth leaders, farmers, health workers. Gosh, we've spoken to so many people. Aggie, I can't really
I was just going to say, Chrissy, that, you know, amazing work to be able to get out there and really hear the issues of the people. So I'm wondering, what have been some of those issues of concern to Solomon Islanders leading up to the election?
Well, a lot of these issues, Aggie, they're not new issues. They are ones that have been, over the years, continuously spoken about and talked about by many Solomon Islanders. So this is with the youth bulge, unemployment issues, some domestic issues, lack of sanitation and water. Some of these are the basic necessities of many, you know, accessing health facilities that have medication, accessing quality education or schools that are able to cater for communities across Solomon Islands. And many have also spoken about inefficient, the issues are inefficient transport services, shipping services. So quite a lot of issues that we've gauged from the conversations that we've had with many Solomon Islanders. But one that remains at the very top is health. And that's health centers in provinces that are lacking basic medications. They have to travel, you know, far and across to get to National Referral Hospital, which is the only referral hospital here in Solomon Islands, and that's based in Honiara. And there's, in fact, common knowledge that even some of these hospitals, the National Referral Hospital itself, isn't adequately resourced for the high population demands that's going on in the country. So we did manage to speak to many of them, and I guess the main question that stands out from a lot that we've spoken to is, where has all the money been used? Where has the politicians used the money? And like I said, you know, health at the very top. We will take a listen to one of the interviews that we did with one of the mothers who we met at the National Referral Hospital, and she was waiting for medication for her son's chronic stomach problem.
In terms of health, this is what we get, and it's really sad because maybe for those with money, they could afford to go to hospitals overseas. Meanwhile, for majority of us, we're stuck here. People should choose their leaders, the next members wisely, because like even if we choose the same people, like, we don't see any differences.
And we're also going to be hearing from Dr. Janella, is it? NRH Medical Superintendent?
It's stressful for our staff, especially when you're standing in front of a patient who's dying. you know what to give, but you don't have it. We would really want to see a hospital being built in a short time, like the Pacific Games, the sports facilities. We have issues to space, and with the facility itself, it's like an old lady on a resuscitation machine, which is struggling to survive. And we deserve to have a better place to work in and not to wait for a very long time for the medicines.
And that election special, if you are tuning in, can actually be viewed on The Pacific, which is on ABC Australia tonight across the region. Chrissy, I do want to ask, what is the mood like on the ground? Are people starting to leave Honiara for their constituencies?
Aggie, I can tell you it's election fever right now in Honiara and across Solomon Islands. People that we've spoken to, even just last night when I came home, there was a rally that was, you know, in the neighborhood. People are engaging in political analysis, their own at the betel nut stalls. Even during school pick up and drop off, you'll hear parents talking about elections and politics and, you know, who will win. But of course, when it comes to the Honiara ports, it's full to capacity. There's chaos there, many passengers, some of which I've seen, you know, they're struggling to try and get on the next ferry out into the provinces, because as you can imagine, many of them are here in Honiara, living in Honiara, but have had to move, start to get their way across to the different constituencies across Solomon Islands, because for many, home is out of Honiara, because they have their families, their wantoks, their relatives, they're connected to their land out in the different 50 constituencies outside of Honiara itself. So the absence of out-of-constituency voting has also made it challenging for many, because they've had to, that means they have to go out to their provinces, and it can take a little bit of while to go out. There's variation of transport mode, even distances and the geographical locations itself. So traveling takes days. And so we've seen a lot of that happening over the past few days. Aggie, also there's been a liquor ban for a week. That itself is in the lead up to the elections, and that'll start on the 16th, a day before the election day. And also there is a public holiday on the polling day that's to allow for public servants, school students, and many Solomon Islanders to be able to take part in, not only take part, but, you know, cast their ballot papers. Public servants have also been given the green light to travel. So, you know, it's a great deal, and one that doesn't happen too often for us. It's after 5 years that many Solomon Islanders will be able to cast their ballot paper. So one of that, in order to get that going, that means traveling out into the provinces for some. And the most important traveling would be to cast their ballot papers next Wednesday.
I do have to ask, Chrissy, in terms of security, and we know we probably shared many stories like this on our show. In 2019, there were about 1,600 police officers that were deployed across Solomon Island. So I'm just wondering, are we expecting an increase given the joint elections?
Absolutely, Aggie. We are expecting the number to probably double, given that it's a joint or synchronized elections. But of course, security remains a top priority, especially for these elections. People want to see a free and fair elections. And with the geographical location that, you know, Solomon Islands is in, and logistical challenges, it's important for people to know and know that their ballot papers or their ballot boxes are of paramount safety. And unlike we've been hearing from the police commissioner and the Royal Solomon Islands Police Force, that there's unlikely any tumultuous occurrence to happen. And we also do know that government has requested assistance using its current security frameworks that are in place with the Solomon Islands Assistance Forces. That includes Fiji, New Zealand, and Australia, as well as the Papua New Guinea's Defence Force. And we also have the Chinese Police Force, who are also on the ground. And all of them are working together for a free and fair elections. We understand from this week's press conference that the Deputy Police Commissioner have said that police deployment have begun to the provinces, and we're expecting, what she's saying is that we're expecting a paramilitary contingent from Papua New Guinea, Fiji and Australia to replenish the local forces in Honiara itself. And in terms of Australia and New Zealand support, they will be supporting in terms of logistics, both on land, air and sea. So it's a great thing to see all these forces coming together to work together towards this common goal, Aggie.
Thank you for that. And look, before I let you go, Chrissy, I know this has made the headlines. A lot of people have seen this. Solomon Islands Prime Minister this week, after the Organised Crime and Corruption Reporting Project, and even the in-depth Solomons, have called on the PM to explain his wealth. We understand at the centre of this was that allegation that Songa Valley built 8 homes in the past 6 years. So has there been a response from the Prime Minister?
A response from the Prime Minister himself, as you'd know or have heard, he's out in Choiseul Province, where his constituency is, in the lead up to the elections. But we have received a response from his wife, Madam Amy Sogavare, who has responded to the OCCRP report, saying that she was saddened that they were not contacted, or the Sogavares weren't contacted at all through during this when this story broke out. And for her, it was her and her family, it was a traumatic experience for them. And at this point in time, you know, leading up to the elections, Madam Sogavare has said it's culturally insensitive, as it might create, you know, fear and for themselves as Sogavares, but their safety is of importance leading up to the elections. And these sort of reports are culturally insensitive, and it might trigger some ill connections or feelings from people, especially when it comes to, you know, elections, and could be, you know, they possibly might do something like that again. So that's where Amy's, Madam Amy Sogavares' stand is.
Well, Chrissy, thank you so much for updating us and letting us know what is happening. Like you say, it is only less than a week, and I know we'll be keeping in touch with you very shortly. But thank you again for this morning.
Thank you, Thomas, Aggie.
No worries. And that is our ABC reporter in Solomon Islands, Chris Narita Almanuleong.